Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome here to Fightful Pro Wrestling. We are here to talk about WWE Money in the Bank. It's Denise Salcedo, and I'm joined by Righteous Reg. So welcome to the show, everybody. Reg, it's nice to be able to do a show with you here on Fightful.
Hey, yo, we're doing a show on Fightful, a different company, some different pay-per-views. Like, look at us in this different setting, Denise. Could you ever imagine us here last Wednesday?
It's like an entirely different universe. Like, we go from one second of, like, talking about AEW on my channel, and the next thing you know, we're here on Fightful, and we're talking about WWE. So it is a different universe that we're stepping into, but I can't wait to talk about today's show, because Money in the Bank had a lot of surprises. I think a lot of things that people weren't necessarily expecting. So I'm really looking forward to just hearing what you have to say, what everybody here in the chat has to say. But before we get into all of that, please, if you are here, if you haven't already, please make sure that you subscribe to Fightful. Hit that subscribe button. We are so close to 100,000 subscribers. And if you want to get your questions or your comments or your hot takes right here on the show, we want to know your reaction. Send in any super chats. We will be reading them throughout the show. You can also send in your humper chats, and the link is in the chat. What is it on here? Yeah, here we go. Luis Polito posted it here in the comments section. You can send in your super chats and your humper chats, whichever one you prefer, and we will be making sure to read all of those here today. This is going to be a good one. Let's kick it off, Reg, with your thoughts overall on Money in the Bank. Coming out of the show, how are you feeling?
I thought this is probably the best execution they could get out of going into the show. Ended the show super strong. I thought that the angle that was executed at the end left the crowd very happy. This is exactly the way you want to do a show, especially after 20 years, is have something as big as this. The thing with Cena, like everything, like that's exactly how you go to another country, bring a PLE, and give them exactly the show that they need. I thought it was super strong.
That's the thing. It's weird to me because I did see a couple of people saying that they felt this episode, or rather this pay-per-view, was 50-50. And there were some people saying that it wasn't good. There were some people saying that it was good. Some people kind of in between. I kind of felt like there was a lot that I did like on the show, but I also got the reasonings as to why some people didn't necessarily like the show. But I feel, given that, you know, it was in London, the crowd was super hot. There were some moments where I wouldn't have blamed the crowd whatsoever if they didn't react, and they reacted to each and every single thing that they were seeing on the show. So overall, I felt like it was a pretty decent pay-per-view. I feel like for the most part, WWE does not drop the ball when it comes to these pay-per-views. No. I feel like I've been enjoying them more than I usually do.
It's been almost close to a year. Like, every one of their PLEs are big shows. They execute them well. They have the matches that the people want to see. That's how it's been for a long time, honestly, though. It's really the weekly shows that kind of drag it down. But if you just watch the big shows, watch the big matches, you'll be like, okay, this is some good stuff going on over here.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. And let's go ahead and get it started with our super chats here. Let's see what people are saying. We got Annie B, who says, feel Jay had his moment and doesn't need the belt. Is Cody beating Reigns out of the question after the main event finish? He's still the hottest face. Okay, so we're going to talk more about everything that went down with the Usos, with the Bloodline at the end of all of this here today. But I think that the way that the show ended, it didn't necessarily... How do I say this? Like, I was expecting the Usos to get the victory, but I wasn't expecting Roman Reigns to get the pin. How about you?
Me neither. Not at all. 0%. Talked about it earlier on Grapsody. I was like, if Roman and Solo lose, Solo's definitely taking the pin. It's just another way for them to further the story. But then when Roman got the three, I was like, wow, this is a big surprise. And hearing that pop after he did get the three, I was like, okay, you know, I understand how we it was clunky getting here, Denise. But we're here, and I understand why we're here now, you know?
Exactly, exactly. We got a comment here from Single Blue Note, the Panda, who says the UK crowd sold out the show hard. Dude, all of their chants throughout the entire night, some of them I couldn't necessarily make out what they were, but it didn't matter because it added this different flavor, this different personality to the shows that we don't normally get to see. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It helps with the action. It helps further along the matches. And, you know, for example, Cody's entrance with them singing the whole thing. It's like, this is another element of when there's a bad crowd, it doesn't, sometimes it's, if it's a bad crowd, it hurts, but a good show could really take that over. But if it's a really great crowd, it can make any show so much better. And I think that's what happened here. Just like the Puerto Rico crowd from a few months ago, it's just like, the extra element, the new territory, the new faces, it just makes it a different experience.
I agree. We got a super chat here from Parker Hines, who says, enjoyable show, scratching my head on Baszler turning on Ronda. Drew versus Gunther, please. LA Knight should have won. Yeah. My God, Roman got pinned, and cool to see Cena. I love how Parker got all his thoughts in on one super chat. You go, Parker. He knows what's up. So let's go ahead and get right into the show. Let's go in a nice chronological format, since I think that's what's going to work best. So let's kick it off with what they kicked off the night with, and that was the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. You had Damian Priest defeat Logan Paul, Butch, Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, LA Knight, and Santos Escobar. Going into this match, Reg, the big conversation was, is WWE gonna actually listen to the people and give the victory to LA Knight? Yeah. And they didn't end up going that direction. I thought going into this, I'm like, I didn't think they were, though, Reg. Mm-hmm. Honest to God, I was not expecting them to give it to LA Knight. Yeah. Not because, you know, whatever reasons for LA Knight. It was because this is WWE's MO, right? To go a different direction. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, there were a couple of people that were maybe predicting or expecting Damian Priest to get the win here, but I wouldn't say the conversation was about him. It was primarily about Logan Paul and LA Knight. So what did you think of this match, and what did you make of them not going with LA Knight, especially given the reaction that he got here tonight?
Yeah, it was very surprising because, yes, like you're saying, going into the show, a lot of people were saying LA Knight after that big, huge ovation that he got on SmackDown last night. Saw a lot of people tweeting, this is LA Knight's time. There's no way they cannot do that. Then the big ovation he got to come into the match, you're like, okay, I see what's going on here. You know, the thing that I like about what WWE is doing now, Denise, is like, they are aware. They'll let you know during a match that they're aware. They know that the talk is about LA Knight and Logan Paul. When they would tease those spots with those two guys, it was like, oh, here are the two people we've been talking about. Like, this must be the match. This must be what's going to go on. This must be who's going to win. So Damian Priest kind of coming from behind and taking the victory was a huge shock. I mean, like you said, there were people that thought that Damian Priest was going to win this match. But you just never know nowadays. Like, you get, like, in the back of my mind, I'm still waiting for Brock Lesnar to come out and just F5 everybody and just climb up the ladder and get the belt, get the briefcase. So anytime somebody different gets the briefcase, it's great. Far being from that, from the LA Knight and the Logan Paul stuff, I think Damian Priest does deserve this. That great match that he had with Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico. And he's been cooking a lot with Judgment Day on Raw and showing himself as a main event player. So this is good. Anytime they're going to give somebody new a push and not just give the briefcase to like Randy Orton again, I'm all in.
So here's the thing. And like, I agree with you because in seeing Damian Priest get the victory here, it was very clear to me that this kind of felt like a reward, like you said, for the Bad Bunny stuff. Like, let's not forget that we were sitting here, you know, after Backlash going, my God, you know, this was really good what we got here with Bad Bunny. And that match ended up being even better. It could have been like this major clusterfuck with everything that they had booked into the match, but it ended up being really great. So to me, I saw this as a reward for Damian Priest. It's like, hey, not only are you part of one of the most featured acts in WWE right now with the Judgment Day, but also, dude, you did a hell of a job in that match against Bad Bunny. So again, even though I didn't necessarily think that Damian Priest was going to win, I see why they went with Damian Priest. And later on, we'll talk more about Priest because we'll talk more about him later on back in the show. But and it makes more sense there too. But here's the thing, though. What does this mean? Do you think that this is a bad sign for LA Knight, given that it's been clear that Vince McMahon wasn't necessarily a fan of his in the past? He recently did an interview with Chris Van Vliet where he said that he was going to be, that he thought he was going to be fired by the company when he was Max Dupree last year. So how is it looking for LA Knight right now?
Earlier this week, Denise, I thought exactly that. I was like, if LA Knight doesn't win this briefcase, it's going to be tough for him, because this is kind of like a tailor-made way for somebody to get into that championship contention, maybe even win it. And you got like an excuse to do it in a certain way. LA Knight not winning here. And then I'm like, look at what's going on with the trajectory. Like Roman, he's not set up at all to challenge for Roman Reigns if he was going to be one of those guys, looking like it's going to be Jay, which we'll talk about later. And then on Rollins' side, on the Raw side, it's like, he's not set up over there either. So like, they could build them. They could go on this momentum, but it's starting to feel a little bit like when Zack Ryder was getting hot and they were like, nah, he's not. You guys think he's hot, but we don't think he's that hot.
Yeah, see, that's a problem to me. And I'm going to be real. And I know people are probably not going to hear this, but I like, there are options in terms of like what you can do with LA Knight. Like you said, you can have him go for the US title, do something with Austin Theory. Hell, we can work into a match with maybe him and Logan Paul at SummerSlam, right? Like, there's so many different options here, but the fact that they didn't go with him, considering how over the guy is right now, and considering that he kind of got himself over because everything that they had kind of had him do on the main roster wasn't necessarily things that were going to scream like, hey, this thing's definitely going to get this guy over.
Right.
And he still got over. He did. Regardless of that.
Massive.
So now it makes me wonder, like, are you basically trying to tell me you guys still feel the same way about LA Knight?
See, that this shows me that they don't, because this is the execution right here. If your fans are telling you, and they tell us very often, we listen to our fans. Your fans are saying, this guy's the guy. Listen, every time he's out here, we love him. Remember when Triple H was in Saudi Arabia, they're chanting for him. Every time they get an opportunity to show that they want this guy to be the guy, they showed it. And then do you think that it left like our LA Knight fans like, oh, he got screwed? Or was it like, I don't know, he doesn't really. Like, does this set him up for him to be like, I got screwed out of this? Can he use this momentum that he got losing this to to go forward. And I don't really know if I feel like he can, you know?
I don't feel like he can come out and be like, oh, I got screwed.
Right.
Right. Like, he can't come out and say that. Like, you had equal opportunity as all of these other guys. Like, you're talking storyline wise, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's not going to be able to come out there and be like, oh, I got screwed. And yeah. no one's going to want to cheer for somebody who's whining and complaining that they got screwed, right?
Exactly. Right, right, right. So, yeah, he's kind of like starting at the bottom. Now he has to be like, well, guys, I guess it's starting from the bottom and it's tough down there.
Yeah. And that's like, I'm thinking, I feel like this to me was not, I'm not like, I don't feel like this is a good sign of how they feel about Allie Knight. And it sucks because there are people that, you know, so many people that are rooting for the guy. And based on, you know, you've already heard that he wasn't liked, it makes you wonder, like, okay, so what's his trajectory look like now? I feel like if he doesn't instantly either go into a program with someone of a big status like Logan Paul or doesn't go after the US championship, I feel like this is a really, like, WWE had an opportunity and they wasted it.
Is anybody going to care about him going against Austin Theory is the thing? You know what I mean? Like, what are the next thing? Like, who's going to care about that, Denise? Is anybody going to?
I feel so bad. I feel so bad for Theory because it just hasn't happened for him yet. You know, like, people are not getting behind him and they weren't getting behind
the
him.
Guy
the guy
that both these guys think they are, Austin Theory and LA Knight, is the real guy, is the guy that was in the ring with John Cena tonight. That's the guy that they're going to, that's the guy that they think LA Knight spot. If Grayson Waller didn't break his leg or whatever, he probably would have been in that match winning this briefcase. That's the guy that they're standing behind. That's the guy that they also think that Austin Theory is. Austin Theory is great in the ring, which is kind of crazy that people aren't really getting behind him. I think it's more of the offline shenanigans that get people. But Grayson Waller is the guy that those two guys think they are. So they better get ready to get their spot taken by him.
Man. All right. And we're going to talk more about Grayson Waller in just a second, but let's get into the actual matchup here of the men's Money in the Bank, because there were some, I'm just going to say this like flat out. I did not think that the men's Money in the Bank match was the best of the two ladder matches. I think that the women completely outdid the men here on this one. There was really one moment, because here's the thing, like, I thought everybody had like some pretty good moments, right? But there wasn't, aside from one spot, that I thought, oh my God, this is so crazy, right? Like, I feel like I've just seen more be done in a ladder match, especially a Money in the Bank ladder match. And I think given all the guys, all of the potential in here, I don't feel like we got those, big enough spots throughout this entire match. There was that one moment, and that one moment was when you saw Logan Paul and Ricochet get thrown off the ladder by LA Knight. That unfortunately kind of ends up being into a little bit of a botch, but it was kind of saved by Ricochet as best as possible. So when they were thrown off the ladder, both guys were supposed to land on the ropes. Now Ricochet landed it, but Logan Paul didn't. He kind of slipped a little bit and didn't really happen. And then from there, Ricochet just went right in there and did the Spanish fly to Logan Paul onto the two tables that were set on the outside. And Lord knows, I have no idea how they did that, Reg.
Ricochet just went right in there. He did. No, it was scary, Denise. Yes. I'm like, what were they trying to do? Some kind of crazy double, they push him to a double springboard into a Spanish fly? That's insane. Like, the room for error is very small, and we saw the error. But for him to still go with it when it looked like they were both falling down, and that violent landing was scary. That was definitely the scariest spot of the match. And I'm happy that it was those two, and they're athletic enough to figure out how to flip out of this shit. But yeah, very scary. But yeah, I kind of agree what you're saying, because while I was watching the match, I was like, okay, another ladder match. Have we done too many of these at this point, where if you're not coming with the super most innovative spots, some different shit that we haven't seen, it's like normal stuff. Like, in 5 years, are they going to play anything from this match that happened that's different than what Jeff Hardy did in 2000? You know what I mean? Like, nothing was like, wow, that's new and inventive. It's just like, oh, they're rehashing this, they're rehashing that. It was spot foo. There's a lot of stuff going on. Ricochet hitting the springboard 450 on the Santos and LA Knight was very dope stuff. And a lot of really dangerous spots. LA Knight getting tossed off the top and Damian Priest getting splashed on the ladder. Like, men were putting their bodies on the line, but I don't know if we just keep running this and it's not going to be anything super crazy, if it's worth it to, you know, destroy your bodies for like just a regular thing. Just me.
Yeah, no, I get you. And I also like that you mentioned, because it's true, because when Ricochet, because everybody saw what was supposed to happen. Everybody saw that, you know, Logan Paul lost his footing, because that was a very mm-hmm. hard thing to do, right? It was a very yeah. hard thing to attempt. And like, then when Ricochet still went for it, I thought, dude, you're freaking nuts. You're still going for the Spanish fly. And then like they did the overhead shot, right? And granted, I only saw the overhead shot one time. But when I saw the overhead shot, I'm looking at Logan Paul's body. Yeah. And it was terrifying to see mm-hmm. that he didn't necessarily make the full turn either. It was kind of just like, bro, and however you Logan land, you Paul, land.
This is like, what, his sixth or seventh match? Like, that's the spot that Ricochet does, that's an instinct that you develop after years of being a wrestler. Like, there's so much bad that could happen, and it's just so dangerous all around. And I'm happy that they got out of it seemingly unscathed.
Seriously, that was freaking crazy. Mm. We got Jared, who sent in a super chat saying men's Money in the Bank was about spots, women's was about story.
Perfect.
I can't wait to talk about the women's. Mm-hmm. We got Broadway Joe, who sends in a super chat saying the show was great, except the world title stuff, the match plus Priest winning. The title scene needs Gunther and Cody ASAP, feels mid-card at the moment. I can't argue it. I mean, we got Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. That was promoted as like one of the main events.
It was.
Think about that. Really let that sink in.
I can't wait till we get to that match, because I have a lot of thoughts.
Oh, seriously. I can't wait. Broadway Joe, thank you so much for the super chat. We appreciate it. Heads up to everybody, just in case. If you want to get your comments, your questions, your hot takes, your disagreements, if you agree with us, whatever it is, feel free to send in a super chat or a Humper chat, and we will be pulling those out and reading them throughout the entire night. Your support helps us out tremendously. So, yes. All right. So, overall, shocking start to Money in the Bank. And thanks. So, next up, we ended up having a match that, I'm just going to be real with everybody, I did not care about heading into this. And I was surprised that they managed to do anything in this that got me going, huh, okay. So we had Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan defeat Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler for the women's tag team titles. And some of you are probably going, wait, what now? Because Ronda and Shayna just won the titles. Like, they've barely been champions for a hot minute. They just unified the titles. It's barely been a thing. Raquel and Liv Morgan, former champions. Liv Morgan got injured. She finally came back. They reunited. I was not expecting anything that happened here. I was expecting them to have a straightforward match, have Ronda and Shayna win, and continue their time as tag team champs. But instead, during this match, we ended up getting Shayna Baszler randomly,
so random,
attacking her own partner Ronda Rousey, turning on her, thus allowing, practically giving, handing the opportunity to Raquel and Liv to regain their titles. Thoughts on this?
I was shocked. I mean, like a different kind of shocked, maybe like a huh shocked more than like, it was like a what? Like, it just came out of nowhere. I don't know if we were being set up for it. They just won the tag team championships. They don't have that many women's tag teams. I was actually liking them as a tag team together. So I was like, okay, this is going to be a cool match. Ronda and Shayna are going to beat them up, and then they're going to be a dominant tag team championships. And then all of a sudden, here comes Shayna, starts punching her own partner. I'm like, wait, what's going on? Why is Shayna beating up Ronda? What is the storyline reason, you think, Denise, that Shayna is beating up Ronda?
Well, the purpose, I don't know, because there's got to be a moment, right? Like, I know what they're trying to get to, right?
Yeah,
like, that's not the point. We know what they're trying to do, right? Monster Shayna is back. Yeah. We get that. We know we what like they're that. Trying to do. Mm-hmm. But what was the catalyst for her turning on Ronda Rousey? Not too long ago, they're out there hugging and crying and doing interviews about how, you know, they were starving together, and they fought so hard for this opportunity, and they finally got it. Okay, so what happened that made Shayna turn on Ronda Rousey? I'm sitting here, Reg, and I cannot give you an answer.
They want to have a match together? That's, I guess. I like it. I'm into it.
They didn't plan any scenes for this, though.
No, like, they didn't. That's why it was so shocking. It was like, what? Why did she do that? They're friends. We know they're friends. They hang out. They're on Twitches together. They used to live together. They fight together, all kinds of stuff. Why is she beating her up? I guess we'll find out the reason. I mean, they have always positioned Shayna as like a badass who doesn't need anybody, that it doesn't matter. She's just going to go through everybody that's happening. So it'll be very easy for them to, for her to be just be like, I don't care about nothing. She's always been blah, blah, blah. I've been in her shadow, but it's just, it's interesting.
I think so too, man. I don't even know. So here's the other question. So Rhonda, she's a baby face now, right? Is that the thing? Like, God, is that what we're doing?
No, no, no.
She was betrayed by her friend. Technically, she should be the baby face in this, right?
No, 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 no. Abort, abort. We cannot have baby face Rhonda. We know what happened last time. It's God awful. Every time she talks as a baby face, it's just like, whoa, no, please don't. And if that's where this is leading to, bad news. We should have had Rhonda turn on her if that's what's going on, because this is crazy.
But then if we have Rhonda turn on her, do we still get the same like animalistic Shayna Baszler that we want to see?
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of Ronda Rousey being the baby face in this.
No, I cannot. And are we supposed to have sympathy for her after she's just been kicking everybody's ass? She'll jump you from the side and then she'll talk shit about you. I really don't understand it. She cannot be the baby face. It has to be two heels. We have to hate both of them. That's the only way this is going to work.
I can't get on board with Rhonda as a baby face right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I just cannot. But I am excited to see Shayna do her thing. Like, I'm cool with that. But I just can't get on board with this Ronda Rousey as a babyface right now. So I think that's going to be a weird dynamic that they're going to have to figure out, or have this really great like reason that Shayna Baszler did this to Ronda, because they're going to have to come up with something. On Friday Night SmackDown, I want to have some answers as to why this happened, because this wasn't like, I'm sure we thought it was going to happen somewhere down the line. Cool, whatever. But were we expecting it today on Money in the Bank? Not necessarily.
And didn't they just like, were we just reading reports that they were going to go down to NXT, they were going to be the defending champions, they want to have Ronda on NXT, and Ronda was like, y'all gonna trying to have me wear now, get these belts off of me, I don't want no parts of this, I'm not going down to Florida, y'all are tripping, have Shayna beat me up. They didn't even tell them this was going to happen. They were like, all right, they're trying to send us to NXT, so we're turning on each other, have fun out there.
So Ronda did all of this just so that she wouldn't have to go to NXT.
Oh, so she doesn't have to go to NXT.
savage. Dream Ninja 77 sends in a super chat saying, crowd very clearly said Shayna was the face. Murder Shayna is the best Shayna. It's her time. Yeah, and they're right. That's true. Gonna cheer for Shayna. Yeah. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make sense to the story that they're telling. The person who gets screwed by their best friend is supposed to be the baby face, not the heel.
I mean, if Shayna comes out and starts telling facts and being like, well, Ronda's this and Ronda's this, and we're all like, yeah, like, it's going to be like this.
True. But they didn't tell us that story at all couple of weeks. They didn't make Ronda, she wasn't treating Shayna poorly.
I thought they were going to be defending champions. That's all I cared about. All I care about is getting these women's tag team champions some prestige, getting them some great runs, and not this hot potato bullshit. I like hot potato championships, but this championship hasn't been established by anybody. We got to get it to somebody, and they keep having to deal with this bullshit. It's crazy.
I thought you were going to say I like hot potato. What? Plain hot potato. I'm like, yeah, I do too, but what are we doing with the title?
Hot potato.
Dude, hot potato, man. Anybody here who's ever played hot potato, the stress, the amount of stress when you have it and you're like,
why? Classic Denise, man. I'm telling you, hot potato. Oh, man. Ridiculous. None of these people know what hot potato is. Probably do.
Is it not like a game that everybody
plays? I don't know.
Yeah, right? Everybody plays hot potato. Everybody.
Yeah, sure.
But that's what they're doing with the tag titles. But I agree with you. You're right. Mm-hmm. I want to see them take the championship seriously. I want to see a defending tag team champion. Yes. I want to see an actual division surrounding that. But that's, I think, asking for a little too much.
That's a lot. It's a lot of numbers and a lot of names.
Oh, man. All right. We got Jared asking here, with Raquel in the tag team division, who's next for Rhea? Clearly, it's Natalia, part three.
I love Natty, but we got to move on. That's a great question. That's exactly what I was thinking when Rhea came out with Dom. I'm like, what? Why is Rhea just walking out as a second? She's the damn champion. She should be defending her championship on the show. And after that, look, yeah, we thought they were building to Raquel and Rhea. And like, it's not. No, Raquel's a tag team champion now. That leaves Rhea just out in the open, and there's no contenders at all. Nobody has even sniffed up there besides Natty, and nobody wants to see Natty at all.
I feel so bad. I feel so bad saying that, but it's true though. Unfortunately, they haven't done enough. Like, here's the thing, like, Rhea's got everything, man. She's got the people behind her. She's got the star power. She's got the intrigue. People are interested in Rhea Ripley. But now it's falling short on the other side, where we don't have an opponent for her, a challenger for her yet at this moment that feels big, that feels massive. Now, we've seen this teased a couple of times now on Raw. I want to see Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley. To me, that feels the level, the standard of where Rhea Ripley, the type of opponents that she should be dealing with right now, should be of the caliber of the level of Becky Lynch. Now, clearly, Becky Lynch is still finishing things up with Trish, but I really hope that this is the direction that we're headed in, whether it happens at SummerSlam or, you know, later on WrestleMania. I think they can probably do something as close as SummerSlam. Who knows? Maybe it's too soon.
Yeah, because ever since Rhea's won the championship at WrestleMania, it hasn't been anything really good for her. She needs a really big win. In SummerSlam, they got to give her a big, big opponent, and they got to give her a big win, because her being in this Dom thing is great. It's getting good heat, but she also has to be. We thought she was going to be this kick-ass champion, and she has in theory, but in a different way.
Yeah, you're right on that. That's exactly what we thought, and it just hasn't necessarily panned out that way, right? But speaking of kick-ass champions, oh, I cannot wait to talk about this one, because from start to finish, loved everything that we saw here. Gunther defending his Intercontinental Championship against Matt Riddle. And what we saw here was this, how do I describe this match? This manhandling of Gunther through Riddle. Like, Matt Riddle could not catch one break throughout this entire match. Gunther was chopping him, slapping him, stomping him. I mean, he was treating him really badly. It was great. And this was so much fun, though, to see this. And throughout this match, we also saw that Matt Riddle had the tape around his ankle. And what did Gunther do? He made sure to go in and attack that. And at one point, so for the actual finish, Gunther applies a leg lock. And right away, Matt Riddle taps out. And I loved this, because, Reg, if there's anything that I hate is when people really, really exaggerate the finish, because there are certain moves where it's like, bro, just end it. Like, this is it.
If this was MMA, it'd be 1 second. It wouldn't be 30 seconds of them being like reaching for the ropes. No, if they lock in an arm bar, they're going to break your arm if you have it in there for 5 seconds longer than this. So, yes, I agree. That always annoys the crap out of me with these MMA style finishes. Is like, if this was real, they'd be tapping out immediately. They wouldn't be calling for the ref and crawling really slowly. So, yeah. But, yeah, Gunther's just a bully. That's all it is. He came in here and bullied Matt Riddle. We thought Matt Riddle, since he used to be in the UFC, he's an MMA guy. You're like, he might have a shot out here. He could strike. He could do this. But, no, he can't. This guy's been the Intercontinental Champion for so long. We don't even know how long it's been. He has just been out here dominating, and opponents like this are perfect for him, because it shows that he's not just beating up like little guys or people not in his league. He'll beat up a guy that you think is in his league too, and he'll beat him up bad. He'll chop Matt Riddle just as hard as he chops anybody else, and then he's going to powerbomb him so hard that he falls out of his shorts. Gunther's just a bad, bad dude. But the big story here, right, Denise, is what happened after he won. Massive, massive, massive pop for returning Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre and him having this confrontation. I want to say this, because here's the thing. Like, when Gunther was dominating throughout this entire match against Matt Riddle, I kept thinking, where is this going?
Like, why? Like,
right, exactly. Like, there's got to be some sort of reason. Like, are they going to have Matt Riddle defeat Gunther? Is this, like, what are we doing here? Like, I really wasn't sure. I felt like they were trying to set me up for something, right?
Right.
I didn't know what it was that they were trying to set me up for. But that moment when he defeated Matt Riddle and the way that it happened, it felt so good, like a one and done. Like, you're right, he's not just going out there and defeating nobodies. He's out there defeating credible opponents like Matt Riddle. Right. So after that, you had this feeling of what's next. And so having Drew McIntyre come out, return, it was this thing of like, cool, Now we know what is next for Gunther. We've seen these two guys work before. And so for them to have this confrontation, to have this moment, it felt big time. It felt like that's what you want to see for Gunther as this kick-ass champion, an intercontinental champion, but also for Drew McIntyre, because Drew McIntyre, you know, he's that guy that you can always count on him to put him in big time scenarios, because he's a big time type of competitor, right? Mm-hmm. He's a star, but he also kind of gets sometimes thrown off to the side, right? Like, he's not your Roman Reigns. He's not Seth Rollins.
It's that same thing. They know if they throw him to the side, they could just heat him back up immediately. They're like, it'll be fine. We could just get him back up. And I mean, this kind of does show that they can, you know?
Exactly. And so to then see them circle back with this, especially after what we saw at WrestleMania from these guys, I feel like this felt like the crowd loved it. Everybody loved to see the possibilities that can be had here with just them two.
Yeah, and I think we kind of needed this moment, because the last time we saw Drew Mac overseas in a big moment like this, he was losing to Roman Reigns and looking like a big loser. So
and
for him,
freaking karaoke,
and singing karaoke, last time we saw him, he was down bad, Denise. So for him to come back, this super huge ovation, the crowd's loving it. Gunther's like, I don't give a shit. I'll push your face. Him hitting the big glass cow kiss and hitting the big claymore kick, holding that championship up. Drew McIntyre looked like a guy that's supposed to be here and looks like a guy that should be in the main event. Like somebody was saying in the chat, both of these guys need to give this belt up to somebody else, and they need to be contenders for the championship at all moments, because I love that they built the Intercontinental Championship, but I think the guys that they used to build it can now move on to the main event, and they could establish some other guys as the Intercontinental Championship.
See, I agree with you on that in terms of, like, I do want to see Gunther at some point go up against Roman and all of that, right? But I don't want to see him drop the Intercontinental Championship. You know, when you have something that's so good and you don't want to let it go because it's not always been that great, you know, without it. So that's how I feel about Gunther as the champion.
Like, if it goes to anybody else, it might not be the same. I agree.
Right. Like, it might not be the same. So I'm scared and I want to stay. And I'm afraid that if they take the title off of him, all of a sudden they're not going to pay attention to him. Nothing's going to happen. He doesn't defeat Roman, whatever. And he's just there.
Those are some things to worry about for sure, because that has happened so many times.
And that's my fear. So we'll see. But we got a couple of super chats to get into. Once again, guys, please help support this podcast. Help support the show. Keep us going. Send in those super chats. We got one here from Misha Sumra, who says, checking in from London. Great show tonight. Loving the Fightful content. We want Denise over here for All In. I will be at All In, actually. Hey. I'm planning on it. I already bought my tickets. I already bought everything. So I will definitely be there, and I'm excited. And I'm going to have to learn those London chants, because I don't know any of them.
Oh, you're about to be in there. Same thing. So that's actually a point that I thought going into this show, watching this show, and for the whole time that they announced the show, I thought this was going to be in a stadium. I was under the impression that this was going to be in a big show. And then they were like, oh, there's 19,000 people. I'm like, they undersold what they could have done here. Their first PLE in 20 plus years, they could have got like 40,000 people in a stadium, I think, in London. And I was like, I don't understand why they would do this to themselves when their business is so hot. I mean, just to have a guaranteed 20,000 sellout sounds good, but I feel like they could have really put up some bigger numbers for this.
You're right, because I was thinking the same thing too when I realized yesterday when we were watching SmackDown, they were like, oh, we're in the O2 Arena. And I'm like, that's the same place where they're going to hold the show, right? Like, right. I've never been to the O2 Arena. I don't know anything about the O2 Arena. So when I realized it was going to be in the exact same place, I did think the same thing, where it didn't have that exact same, it wasn't as grand as Clash of the Castle, where that was just like a sea of, like, a ridiculous amount of people.
Yeah, that's exactly how I thought. I was thinking back to Clash of the Castle, like, they might have been able to do something like that again, and I don't really understand why they didn't.
We got Dream Ninja 77, who says, Reg, Triple H said cinema on the presser.
No.
Triple H is coming for you, Reg. He heard what you've been saying about this whole cinema and wrestling and was like, nah, not on my watch.
My worst nightmare. That sounds terrible. That son of a bitch.
Triple H is coming for you, man.
What's up with that, man?
He's on to your agenda. He's gonna make pro wrestling cinema.
Triple H, I don't deserve this, okay? Jeez Louise.
You know what I was thinking about too? And I don't know if this is gonna help your argument. Maybe it will. I know some people are probably gonna get upset, but I think sometimes we need to step outside our, we love wrestling, right? We love it. Clearly we wouldn't be doing this job if we didn't. But sometimes we need to step outside the bubble and realize that the mainstream world doesn't see wrestling the way that we do. I was watching Family Matters, the episode where this is what catapulted this thought, Reg. I shit you not. I was watching the episode where they go to the wrestling show and the Bushwhackers mm-hmm. are on, right? Mm-hmm. And they end up going in there, Steve Urkel and Carl, and they end up wrestling the Bushwhackers, right?
Yeah.
And it's so hokey. It's so ridiculous, yeah. right? Like mm-hmm. the whole entire episode, it's painting wrestling as this circus freak show, really, really silly type of thing. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, yes, because this is exactly how the mainstream world sees pro wrestling. That's how they think about it. Mm-hmm. This is their idea of what pro wrestling is. Hokey stuff. And so, yeah, we may see it as great as an art form and this and that, but mainstream world doesn't see it that way. And just kind of mm-hmm. getting an example of that and seeing the way that it was presented, it made me think, like, there's people out here thinking, like, oh, they're going to be, like, Emmys and things like that. I'm like, they don't see wrestling this way, though.
The people that judge the Emmys are laughing. Like, it's a joke to them. And, like, that's not, like, I don't think we should be discouraged by that. Like, we have our thing that we love. And if it does make you feel like you just saw some cinema, that's great. But just call it what it is. Professional wrestling, okay?
Thank you. So anyways, this all hit me while I was watching this. I'm like, you know what? This adds to the cinema argument.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Urkel and Carl Winslow. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and this is right, too. This is a comment from JR who says, still too many misconceptions about pro wrestling. And if you're a fan, you get it. And it's true. Yeah. But you do have to be aware of that, right? Like, I don't know about you, Reg, but there are some times where I do get a little bit embarrassed to tell my non-wrestling friends that, you know, this is what I'm really into. Like, I feel like they look at me and they somewhat judge me a little bit.
Every time that I meet a woman and she's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I talk about and watch a lot of wrestling. Denise, you know how that sounds. Okay. I mean, you don't know how
if
that sounds because you're
a wrestling fan. If I wasn't a wrestling fan, all right, real talk, and I met a guy and he was talking about him doing this for a living, I'd be like,
I do podcasts. Like, come on, about wrestling? They're like, what are you talking? Why are you saying these words? What do you mean?
I would look at you and I would go, is that a real job, sweetie? Like, exactly. Do you get paid? Are you struggling?
Exactly. And that's what 99% of them think. So I'm like, this ain't no cinema, dude. I'm out here fighting for my life trying to explain my little jobs.
I love it, though. But you only get it if you're a wrestling fan, all right? You only get it. We got to convert more people, man. Let's go door knocking.
Bubble. Well, let's embrace our bubble. That's why we have to stick together with the people that are in here, and we can't be fighting against each other with this tribalism bullshit because we're all in the same fight.
Exactly. That's true. You got it right there. Maybe mm-hmm. we should just start going, knocking on doors and be like, yo, what's up? Have you heard of WWE? Have you heard of AEW? All right, well, let me go. My press. This is Brian Danielson. He's considered the GOAT.
Wildin'.
Here's a brochure.
Wrestling Jehovah's Witnesses is crazy. That's wild.
Oh, man, we got off on a tangent. We did. Man. Oh, God. All right. Let's go ahead and continue on from here. Once again, guys, please feel free to send in your super chats, your Humper chats. We're pulling them in. We're getting your thoughts. We just finished talking about Gunther, Matt Riddle, Drew McIntyre. Let's press on and get into the match that I thought was probably the I feel mean using the B word.
Yeah.
But also yeah. I'll use the S word.
Yes.
This match was slow. There Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio. I tweeted this out, Reg. It was exactly what I expected this match to be. Okay. I wasn't expecting some grand, shocking, phenomenal right. match here. This was a Raw match. This was not, I hate to say it because I get the heat that Dominic gets and I like Dominic a whole lot and I want him Let's to succeed, but this was not a match that Cody Rhodes should be having in London in a caliber of this show.
let's talk about it, Denise, because how many times of the past few months have you heard or read this tweet that says Dominik is the hottest heel in WWE? I've seen that. If I had a nickel for every time I've seen that, I'd have like $50 at this point. Like, a lot of people have said it. But this show here and this display here shows why all those people are so wrong. Dominik Mysterio has a thing where he talks and people don't let him talk. That's his thing. That's where the heat dies. Because yes. When the bell rang, they didn't care. When Roman Reigns was out there, the crowd was booing him. They were starting up chants. They were everything that he did, you knew that he was in the ring. You knew what was going on. That's called real heat, not gimmick heat like Dominik Mysterio has. This pay-per-view, this show showed exactly why he's not the hottest heel in the business. Because as soon as the bell rings, no one cares. No one cares. You have to care. You could be the hottest heel in the business. Nobody lets you talk. No, that's where it ends. They have to care about somebody even wanting to beat you up. If they don't care about people beating you up, it doesn't matter. None of this matters.
And I'm so happy that you said that, because I feel like it was on the tip of my tongue, but you nailed it there where you said it is not real heat because when the bell rings, it dies. No one cares anymore. And that's where I think they probably thought, oh, we can get away with this being a really mediocre match, but the heat will be so big on Dominik throughout the match that it will seem a lot more grander than it probably is going to be. And it didn't. It ended right then and there. The second Dominik's done doing his smooching with Rhea, the second that he's done being Dominik, they don't care when the match actually starts. And that sucks, right? That sucks, right? Because you want to see that. But the part of the reason is because it's just not – the caliber of wrestling is just not there. It's not there yet. There's been a massive improvement, but it's just not the same as getting Cody Rhodes, Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins. It's just not the same. And so it was very interesting to me that they even promoted this match in the light of it being like a main event status. I thought that was very, very reaching of them to do. So I don't know. What do you do with this? Because this basically proved to me, to you clearly that there has to be a lot more here than just it being you getting over because you're getting booed while you're being cutting these promos.
And there was no Brock Lesnar. I mean, I think the biggest thing here is why wasn't Cody in the ladder match? Like, he should, if he wants to be the world champion, he should be going for the world champion. Why isn't he in the ladder match? And he, instead of being in the ladder match, he's wrestling Dominik. The people were talking, Denise, after Cody Rhodes lost at WrestleMania, being like, he needs more adversity. Dominik is his fucking adversity? This is terrible. If this is the adversity we're talking about, we don't need it. Like, this isn't adding on to his resume. We're not like, oh, now he really needs to beat Roman Reigns. He got rid of that old Dominik. No, dude, no one cares. Where was Brock Lesnar at? I thought the whole time I'm waiting for Brock Lesnar to come out here and F5, I'm like, I'm waiting in every big match because that's what Brock Lesnar does. But yeah, we're just getting to that. Denise, when he came out, it was massive. The crowd was yelling, screaming, so excited. Put this man in a big match. Why isn't he in a big match if the crowd loves this guy so much? They were here for him and he's wrestling fucking Dominik? Ew.
You know, I'm so happy that you're here, Reg, because sometimes these are things I want to say and just don't have the courage to do so. Jeez, you know, sometimes like these are the things I need to say out loud because it is true. It's like, what the hell are we doing here? When you talk about maybe it is adversity, shit, like you got to go out there and put on this freaking great match with Dominik Mysterio. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like what's happening here? Maybe that is the adversity within itself. But to think that people thought that it was the right call. I mean, at this point, I don't even care, to be honest.
Yeah,
I don't even
care anymore.
I'm so freaking over what happened at WrestleMania. I don't even give a damn anymore. Like, I am so exhausted of the argument. I don't even care. But the point here is that this match was not good. It was boring. And should I use the B word? Damn.
Uh-oh,
I was trying not to use the B word. It's so mean, so aggressive, and I didn't want to do that. But damn, it was boring, okay? I'm going to be real.
Yeah.
This was not a premium
and
live
Cody,
event.
I love Cody, but he's already not the super most exciting wrestler. So you want to have somebody on the other side to give a little bit of counteract to that. And Dominik can't counteract that at all.
Right. Exactly. Like, I've had this argument with people before, right? Because I love Cody. I'm a big Cody Rhodes fan. But I have heard the argument of some people thinking that he's not that good and it really just depends on the opponent that he's in there with. I don't necessarily agree with that, but this Dominic Mysterio match doesn't necessarily help my argument.
It does not
help. It doesn't help my argument, and I recognize and Cody's, that.
I love Cody, but he wrestles like a turtle. Like, he wrestles slow as hell. And if you need somebody, like, you have to have someone on the other side that's a hare that's going to fucking run fast, too. So
then maybe that's why him and Seth Rollins work so well together.
Exactly, Denise. You see it. You
three
see
different
exactly
matches, three different stories.
Man, exactly. You see it. When you got the hare, as in Seth Rollins, Cody is at his finest. But if you got another turtle and Dominic, we're done. We're doomed.
We're done. We're doomed. No, you can't have two turtles in one match. All right. That's the thing that we're going to get at here. All right. Let's go ahead and press on from this. And let's go ahead and get into the super chat that I wanted to pull up here. Or maybe it was a humper chat. Oh, man, I'm going to get fired. Where are we at? All right. Here we go. This one was from Jake E., who says, WrestleMania UK, a response to AEW All In? Think so. So this is in regards to the next segment, which we're talking about, and this is the John Cena segment. I mean, you didn't watch Money in the Bank yet. You're going, wait, what? John Cena? He wasn't promoted for the show? Well, it was a surprise. He came out and clearly got a big, massive reaction, and he's out there kind of talking for quite a while. I'm not going to go down everything that he said, but this basically...
He was pandering.
He was filling in there and really being this massive cheerleader for London, talking about how great London is and talking about how the people in the back didn't necessarily want to have these events because they thought that the London crowd would take over. He then puts them over for being a great crowd. And then he says, I'm here because I want to see WrestleMania happen in London. Big, massive pop. Finally, eventually, after more talking, we finally get Grayson Waller out there. And I liked the beginning of this Grayson Waller John Cena exchange. And this was basically Grayson Waller saying, like, nah, we should have WrestleMania in Australia because London ain't shit. And so then this then leads to a whole lot more talking between these two here. And Grayson tries to invite John Cena to WrestleMania in Australia to do the Grayson Waller effect and so that he can get the rub. And John Cena's like, nah, I'm not doing that. And so that's pretty much what we get from this whole entire situation here with Grayson Waller and John Cena. Of course, Grayson Waller goes out there and tries to, attack him. And then finally Cena hits him with the attitude adjustment. So this was a long segment.
Yes.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. The Cena pop at first, massive, crazy. People are going insane, singing along to song. John Cena sucks. All the great elements. If they would have shaved 5 minutes off of this, this would have been perfect. Like, John Cena, it felt like he was repeating himself at a point. He was like, and then actually, and it's like, there was great moments of this. Them announcing WrestleMania and the crowd going absolutely bananas. Like, that's crazy. It's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. It was great. And Grayson Waller, I don't know what it is. I've already put him over in the show. I don't know what it is about Grayson Waller, but I'm such a huge fan of this guy. I don't have any idea why. I can't explain it. If you know Righteous Reg and the kind of wrestlers I like, you'd be like, why the? No way that you like this guy. He is really good at his job, and he is who you guys think LA Knight is. I'm going to keep saying it to you. Right here on display. Great. Like, you know, Denise, we've seen people in this position against John Cena and the crowd like that, they're dead. Like, they can't, like, the crowd is going to eat him up. He didn't let the crowd eat him up. He kept talking through him because he knows eventually they're going to die down. And that's what they did. I was like, this guy's a pro. I like this guy. Taking the attitude adjustment. I liked a lot of it. The only thing is, like, I agree with everybody else. Just a little too long. That's it.
Okay, so I got to tell you, I completely agree here with the stuff about Grayson Waller. I, you know, been covering, talking about him since his NXT days. And for those that ever watch my NXT post shows, you know that I'm a fan of Grayson Waller. I think that he's really good at getting people to dislike him. And I know that a lot of people make the comparisons to him and The Miz. I'm sorry. No. I can't tolerate The Miz. I can tolerate Grayson Waller a whole lot more.
Yeah.
He doesn't bother me in that same kind of way that The Miz does.
Jock that you want to punch out, that's cool. The Miz is like your annoying little brother that's just annoying. Like, they're way different. They're different types of LA guys, you know?
Exactly. And so for me, like, I've always liked Grayson Waller in ring wise. I thought that he's always been really good. And clearly once he started going on the mic, and they've always seen it, you can tell that they've always seen something in Grayson because he's been getting the rub. I mean, he got the rub from AJ Styles on NXT before we were even getting all of these main roster guys over to NXT to do little cameos and appearances. Even before that, he was, you know, getting the rub from AJ. So it was very clear. Right. Then he had a whole program with Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels doesn't get involved in the stories very often, and he got involved there, so they clearly saw a lot in Grayson Waller, and now he gets this big moment with John Cena. That was huge, man. I agree. I'm a big fan of Grayson Waller. I do, again, also agree with the fact that they did go a little bit too long here, but I did like the highlights of everything here. I did like them pumping up London for a possibility of this show.
Do you think that there's any validity to that? Do you think this is real? Do you think this is going to lead to London WrestleMania, Denise?
I think they have to. You mentioned it. Like, why would you mention it and then not deliver on that? I mean,
clearly it's not going to be next year,
right? Because next year we already know it's going to be in Philadelphia. So we're talking about, they don't have the next one afterwards, huh? No, they haven't announced anything for after Philadelphia, right? No. Okay. So after Philadelphia, sure. For do London, man, that would be incredible. So incredible. I would love that. But we're talking about like 2 years from now. That's a long time to be out here planning the Grayson Waller effect.
Yeah. Things are going to be – John Cena really is not going to be here in 2 years. There's no way he's going to be at that WrestleMania whenever it is. So, I did see somebody said in the chat something about Minnesota. I did see some talk of Minnesota. So this could be in a couple of years. But, it would be mean and weird if they were like, do you guys want it? And then they're like, actually, see you in 10 years. Like, what? Why'd you tell us that, dude?
Yeah, that's messed up. Now, the other thing is, I want to touch on, so clearly we can't wait for till they do this thing with Grayson Waller and John Cena. Yeah. So do you think we're going to see Grayson Waller or John Cena SummerSlam, or is that too soon?
I don't think we're ever going to see it. I think this was the most that we'll see of John. I think they just were like, we're having this big PLE. It's been over 20 years. The crowd's going to go crazy for Cena. Let's just have him go out there and kind of rock. Like exactly what he is. I don't think it's going to be when they were saying one more match, you see how he was like, nah, dude, like I did that thing with Austin Theory and that was it, bro. So I think this was as must as we'll see with Waller and Cena.
Okay, yeah, I feel you on that. I feel you. So, I mean, it would be nice if they did something at SummerSlam, but I don't know. The other thing, and I feel like we have to mention this too, is do you think they did this, brought this up as a direct response to AEW Wembley All In?
1,000,000%. There's no way that it was John Cena, Denise. Like, you know, they were like, how can we really hammer this thing home? Let's get Cena to do it. We get Cena to go out there and we get Cena to show that the London fans love us. Then we're going to, this was directly a response to fucking All In. And I'm not mad at it. That's what they do. But like, don't sacrifice the UK fans for your little sick jokes or whatever. Like, if this ends up with them not getting WrestleMania or it taking a long time, that's fucked up. Like, they shouldn't be in the middle of this. Like, you going out there and be like, you guys like us more than them, don't you? And then you don't give them anything. So give them something. I'm excited. They should do WrestleMania. I know that the time zone thing, because look, we just watched a show in the middle of the day. It was at noon for us, Denise. So like, that's the thing that's going to get them. But with the network and how these stuff works, like, you can make it work so easily.
It's a Saturday, man. Like, I'll tune in. Yeah. I mean, I tuned in today. Look at us. We were there. Exactly. We tuned in regardless.
It's in the UK, we'll probably be there in real life. So like,
True. And they also in this teased, if I'm Australian and I'm watching this, I'm going, you mentioned Australia too.
Can we get something?
Yes. If I'm in Australia right now, I'd be expecting a WrestleMania too, man. Like, let's do it. Like, I love these, you know, international shows. It's great stuff. So speaking of AEW, we do have a super chat here from JR who says, did you hear Triple H say during the presser that he and Drew laughed on the phone about the rumors around Drew's absence? Did they mean AEW? Well, I did not see the presser since I'm here. So unfortunately, I would have to listen and hear them actually say it for me to speak on this. But any thoughts, Reg?
I mean, because I thought it was interesting when Drew came out and Michael Cole was like, the rumors of Drew Max blah, blah, blahs are been made up or whatever. I was like, that's pretty interesting that they're trying to like emphasize that him being gone was bullshit, even though it wasn't, you fucking liars. Why wasn't he on TV if we're lying about it? But it could be. It seems like he's playing some fun games there, Triple H himself in the presser. So I wouldn't see why it wouldn't be.
He tends to do like little jokes here and there. Yeah. Like he's very funny in these pressers and he likes to throw, he likes to get his shots in. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've seen it. Tom Talks Rubbish sends in a super chat saying, Reg is one of my favorite creators and Denise is amazing too. Thank you, Tom, for the very nice comment.
Next time.
Appreciate it. Okay. And now let's go ahead and continue on from here and let's get into the rest of it. We got Corey David, who sends in a super chat saying, I believe John is filming in London. So convenient.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
I had a couple of people say that. I don't know his filming schedule.
And he did the line from the viral video this week of him saying, can I just eat?
Oh, yeah.
He did that in the promo, which I thought was like, good shit, Cena. He's a pro. He's a pro.
Yeah, he is. I saw that video too. But like my whole thing is like, if you see someone eating and they're famous, don't go up to them. Just come on, they're eating.
Well, it's just like, would you want somebody to interrupt you while you're stuffing your face? No, you're like, dude, get it. Even when the waiter comes and is like, how is it? And you're like mid food, you're like, dude, I'm eating here.
You're trying to cover your mouth. You're like, oh yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. So doing that to a celebrity, think about this, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine. And then they're putting a camera in your face. Imagine you turn around, got a big old piece of spinach right in there in your teeth, and all of a sudden it's on TikTok.
I'm trying to eat egg rolls over here. Leave me alone.
That would be terrible. Alrighty, let's go ahead and continue on from this, and let's get into the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. So we had Io Sky defeating Bayley, Becky Lynch, Zelina Vega, Zoe Stark, and Trish Stratus. Now, this was a hell of a lot of fun. Now, we mentioned earlier that someone mentioned earlier that the men's match was more about the big spots and then the women's match was more about story. Yes. I feel like part of the reason why I personally liked the women's match more was because they didn't have, again, these big massive spots by any means, but they had really creative spots throughout the entire things. There was little things that were done. There was one moment where we saw Zelina Vega be pulled from her arms in between the ladder. I don't think I've ever seen that before. We saw Zelina Vega had a lot of really good moments, by the
way. She's been cooking.
Yeah, she did one moment where she used the body of Trish Stratus as a bridge to cross from one ladder to another ladder. We had everything between Trish and Becky Lynch that anytime they can get their hands on each other, they were just going at it. We had, you know, for the actual finish, getting to see first Bayley kind of screw Io Sky and Io Sky getting her revenge by handcuffing her and Becky Lynch and then finally climbing up and getting the Money in the Bank briefcase. Little things like that made this match very, very creative. How'd you feel about the women's Money in the Bank and Io Sky winning?
I loved it. Great, great choice. That's who I wanted to win. That's who should win. She has been going crazy. After the momentum we saw that she had in Puerto Rico at Backlash, how that crowd was against her, it was like, you got to pull the thing on for EO and let her get this victory. This is night and day with the men's match like we were talking about. The exact reason they said in the chat, the exact reason why this match was better is because they used a story. They used innovative ways to get in and out of spots, innovative ways to use the ladder, different than what has been presented. It's been like this for a couple of shows where they do the men's and the women's match. The women's match usually cooks because they have to look at it from a whole separate lens than what it is. Anytime there's a men's match, you're like, all right, what are all the things we've been doing for 20 years? Let's try to incorporate them. The women have to go about it different ways. They have different ladders. They're different body types, different heights, different things. So everything has to work differently. And I thought it was on display. The women always, when they get the big opportunity to cook, they cook. And this match was really awesome. If this is leading to Io and Asuka, we're just blessed individuals to have this. But yeah, everything worked together. I thought them continuing the story with Trish and Becky was great. Zoe Starks is looking good as Trish's heater. And Zelina, this combined with the Backlash story, I think she is being set up for a good run and something that she's been deserving of for a long time. Really excited about this. Yeah, the women knocked it out of the park. The men should be ashamed of themselves. Get back out there and write it again. Do it again, you guys.
Redo the Spanish Fly. Come on, redo
that Spanish Fly and like not murder each other, please.
Yeah, seriously. But I feel like it would be, we have to get Io Sky Oscar. What? Like if we did it, it'd feel like we got robbed.
Yes. I mean, but they do like to rob people today.
True. All right. Andrew the Giant sends in a super chat saying, my 6-year-old daughter survived till halfway through the main event, 11:20 here in the UK. She loves Roman, so don't know if she'll enjoy the end. Oh, poor thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're 6 years old. It's a little hard to stay up past 11 sometimes, mm-hmm. of course, depending on your sleeping schedule. So I get it. Andrew, thank you so much for the super chat. Seriously. Okay, so let's go ahead and get into Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. Seth Rollins retains against Finn Balor, retains his World Heavyweight Championship. I don't necessarily think many of us were expecting a title change here, but the way that it did happen was interesting, though, because for the most part, Finn Balor was getting his business done. And during this match, we got Damian Priest. He goes out there, Money in the Bank briefcase holder, and he tends to kind of throw off Seth a little bit, where Seth is like looking at him and going like, okay, like it's clear that he's trying to distract Seth, right? Like that was the thing that we thought, right? You know, his homeboy there, Finn Balor, is there. So this ends up kind of working against him, because instead Finn Balor ends up kind of getting distracted by Damian Priest.
Yeah, Finn's the one distracted and not Seth.
Exactly. So it was the other way, because it started like that in the beginning. Like Seth was very cognizant that he was there. Like he was expecting him to basically do something and then didn't. And then finally it was Finn Balor that had that moment of distraction. And this then allowed Seth Rollins to get the win. And what you got afterwards was a argument between Finn Balor and Damian Priest, because it was clear that he cost him this match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that was kind of interesting to me is I didn't like how Damian did come out at the end of the show. You should be teasing that you're going to go for both of those championships. Don't just put the emphasis on Seth. If you're going to beat Seth, at least tease that you're going to be getting Roman. They could at least show him in the back, like a tent, like some kind of thing to be like, and he also might try to rev up Roman too to get his championship. But they just like know that ain't nobody going to beat him for that. Don't even think about it, you guys, which I also understand. Super fun match here. There was a lot of people thinking this week that Finn might pull out the victory. And I love that what Finn's been doing as a heel. He's been incredible. I think the breakup of him and Damian Priest, I think they probably get Priest and him at SummerSlam, be a great match. They've been telling some great stories. I think Judgment Day is so hot, but they're going to break up and add new members. So it's like a lot going on there. I think they're telling some good stories. And then Seth Rollins has been on a great run as the World Heavyweight Champion. I think all the matches have been great. And him just defending it every day, every week, probably going to defend it on Raw, is like great for the championship and great for his resume.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right on that with all of that you touched on there. And then I wasn't done seeing Seth Rollins, you know, as World Heavyweight Champion. I think that they've done a lot of good for Finn Balor heading into this feud and with the actual match itself. And I like that now we kind of know what to expect on Monday, which is going to be, clearly we're going to see some words exchanged here with the Judgment Day. So we'll see about that. But let's go ahead and get into this main event. We have Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso defeat Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, but the big thing here is that Jey Uso pinned Roman Reigns to actually get this. Now, I thought that the match kind of started off very, very slow. The crowd made up for it, like, oh my God, they were working with those chants, with everything phenomenal. But then, of course, we get the referee bump, which we always get. And so then things kind of started to feel just a tad bit predictable, but it ended up going to the point where we ended up getting all of these super kicks, Superman punches. We got spears. I mean, it was a Lollapalooza of just action going on. And Solo Sikoa does a splash on the outside. He tries to get Jimmy. Jimmy moves out of the way. So this kind of eliminates Solo Sikoa out of this. And there's a moment where Jay is about to get pinned. And instead, he kicks out. But when he kicks out, he hits Roman Reigns right in the nuts. And so this obviously affects that. But we do see Jay defeat Roman, get that pin to get the actual win here. Like, this was nuts. How did you feel about the match, and how did you feel about the outcome?
First Roman Reigns loss since December 19th, 2019, whatever they said a million times. Yeah, I thought it started off kind of slow. Hated the ref bump. The ref bump is really the only issue that I had with any part of this match, because why? Like, it in the end, you didn't even need it. You could have found a different way to get into those same spots. Only thing I complained about. The match, the ending was awesome. I thought that them teasing the whole match of Roman and Jay kind of being like in this, like, we're beefing, and Jimmy being like, this is what you've been waiting for. Beat this fool up. Beat this fool's ass. Roman, of course, in these big moments is great. He has great facials. The way that he bumps when the Usos get into their super kicking mode, the way that he takes a double super kick is so great. Like, it's such a great bump every time. And he played a great role. Solo also played a really great role, had a lot of great facials. When Roman tells him to tag him in, and Solo just looks at him like, I'm handling business. And Roman's like, nah, man, it's my turn to handle business. Solo looked awesome, beating his brother's ass for a lot of that. The spike, the Samoan spike and the spear combo, great stuff. Yeah, the ending of this, though, I think is something we've been waiting for so long. We've been waiting for this exact moment. Great execution. Usos kicking out of being double stacked. That false finish was beautiful. Crowd went nuts again. Again, crowd stayed hot for the whole show, like super hot. Like at the end, they were just as hot as they were at the beginning. Always plays for a great wrestling crowd. And then the Usos getting the victory, this big win. Does this lead to Roman Reigns and Jey Uso at SummerSlam, Denise?
I feel like that would be, you know, again, full circle type of moment. But mm-hmm. there was something else that I want to mention, and that is that we ended up getting, there was a small moment where Roman Reigns kind of looked like super frustrated, like he was going to give up already, yeah. right? After the kick, after both mm-hmm. Usos kicked down when he stacked them up on top of each other, the moment that you mentioned. But after that, he looked like he was really, really just like frustrated. And Solo Sikoa mm-hmm. kind of took charge after this. He had this moment of like, get up. Like he even had like, mm-hmm. motioned it to Roman Reigns, like to get up. And I liked that little bit where it kind of felt, I almost feel like if I'm Solo Sikoa, I see as like Roman Reigns failed us. Roman Reigns failed us in this victory. He's not the tribal chief that I mm-hmm. imagined, because he failed us in this moment. And I was the one that tried to, like, you know, get us back up there. And so little things like that gave me something to read into, because if I didn't know if Solo Sikoa was going to turn on Roman Reigns tonight or what was mm-hmm. going to happen. I really did not. And we should have known the second this match was made the main event, it was very clear that something had to happen. And that mm-hmm. moment was, of course, Roman Reigns getting pinned. But again, I didn't think the match itself was great. The last couple of minutes were very exciting, though. And seeing Roman Reigns get pinned was like a, oof, it finally happened. And I would be so down to see Jey Uso and Roman Reigns at, you know, SummerSlam.
Yeah, that moment that you talked about, that was a great moment of Roman being like, damn, maybe I can't beat these guys. And Solo just gets in, starts pounding both of them. He's like, come on, bro, you're supposed to be the tribal chief. I'm following you. Why am I leading the way? And then Roman kind of like shaking his head like, no, you're right. Let's get these fools. Was great. I loved it.
I love it.
A great ending to the match. A lot of it was slow. A lot of it started to feel like Roman plunder, but they stuck the landing.
They did. They stuck the landing. There you go. That's right. All right. So we got a couple of Humper Chats here to read. This one is from Jake Nile, who says, have extreme rules in Sydney, Australia, where instead of weapons, there's just Australian wildlife surrounding the ring. No thanks. Have you seen
spiders
those videos?
And shit.
Yes. The jumping spiders that are like so huge.
I'm chill.
No like way. It. I would die. I wouldn't even care. I would just be like, nope, not doing this match. Dead. Done. Nope. Mm-hmm. Thanks. We have another super Humper Chat from Just Miles, who says, join the live super late. Since LA Knight didn't win Money in the Bank, should he win Rumble, or are we still Team Cody on that from? Also, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much to Just Miles. I don't think I have a person that I want to win the Royal Rumble. It's just too soon for me. I can't jump ahead this much.
Gunther? That's the only one I could think of at the moment. But that could change. I could be my homie Grayson Waller. Shout out to Grayson Waller.
I actually like the idea of Gunther winning. Now that you said it, I'm like, I didn't have anybody. But now, there's something there. Mm-hmm. And then I already read the other super chat there that we had from earlier, which was from Annie B. But I read that one already. So there we go. Oh, my gosh. All right. So that was Money in the Bank overall. They gave us some pretty noteworthy stuff to actually go ahead and talk about. Before we go, we do have a quick word here from our sponsor.
Let's be real. Big nasty pubes are gross. You want that tree to stand taller. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of landscaping. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of manscaping. With manscaped.com and that code FIFA, you're going to save 20% off your order and get free shipping. What a deal. And how about this? They've got a ton of deals on that site. They got a lot of bundles, a lot of packages to help out your package. But it's not just your package. It's your body. It's your hair. They got deodorant. They've got shampoo. They've got foot deodorant. They got ball toner. They got everything at manscaped.com. And when you use that code FIGHTFUL, get 20% off your order and free shipping. Just a plethora of different options. Maybe you want to try a little bit of everything. Maybe you just want to try one thing. Well, Manscaped and the code FIGHTFUL will get you there. Make that tree stand taller and trim it up a little bit with Manscaped.
All righty, and we are back here. Trim it up a little bit. Get that Manscaped. Support our sponsor. We got a super chat here from Jason PS3 who says, now that Roman got pinned, it'll make Cody beating Roman at next year's WrestleMania less impactful. No, I don't think so, because the point also now stands is, yeah, he got pinned, but he still got the title. He still got the championship.
Yes.
Now, who takes the championship?
That was also a very egregious end of the show when Wade Barrett was like, what's next for Roman Reigns? What can he do? He's still the world champion, dude. At the end of the day, like, even if this whole world falls apart, he's still the main guy. He's still the head of the table because he's the champ. So why are you trying to sell it like his whole world's falling apart? If anything, it's fine because he's still the champion, but, you know.
Exactly. It's just that his world is a little bit mightier than ours. Yeah. He's the tribal chief, man. He's the tribal chief. So clearly they're going to, you know, make this really seem like all like the world's ending because he got pinned. But yeah, it's still the championship. That to me is like the main thing. Like, I care way much more about that than I do about the actual pin. Exactly. Moneybag sends in a super chat saying, do you guys think that Roman needs at least one good face run before retiring rather than going out as a heel? Oh, for sure. There's still so much more there with Roman as a face in the future.
I don't think he's going to go out as heel. I mean, you see the way that the crowd already, there's already a lot of Roman fans. And I think that eventually at the end of all this bloodline shit, he'll be a monster babyface again. So
yeah, I feel you. Moneybags, thank you so much for the super chat. Alrighty, so that was our show. But before we wrap up, Reg, please let the people know where they can follow you, where they can show you some love.
I was going to say on Twitter, but nobody can follow anybody on Twitter because Twitter is crumbling before our eyes. So you can see me every Saturday morning on the FIGHTFUL Network, Grab City Podcast, Philip Lindsay. Every Wednesday, I'm on with Mike Early for Indeed. And now every single Wednesday night, post Dynamite with my co-host here today, Denise. We are getting lit about Dynamite. It's so much fun. You guys definitely want to check that out. On Thursdays, every other Thursdays, Ask Grapsody on FIGHTFUL Select. And I'm on with Kate on the ROH post show. So you can see me at a lot of places and probably some more here in the future because we getting lit. All right.
That's for sure. Broadway Joe sends in a super chat saying the ending sequence to this match was exactly the same. Double kicks then splash to when Jay pinned Roman the first time way back in like 2013. Thank you, Broadway Joe, for sending in this super chat. Alrighty, guys, that is it for today. You guys know where to find me, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. If you guys haven't already checked out the channel, please do. It really mean a whole lot to me. I post tons of content. As Reg mentioned, we now do the AEW Dynamite post show together. The California connection is going strong each and every single Wednesday, but we got plenty more there, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. Please do not forget to subscribe to FIGHTFUL and FIGHTFULSELECT.com, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.